Hello there. Today is Thursday, January 4th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Lori London in Washington. Coming up, a new book from a former Trump advisor as the president infuriated. Vice President Mike Pence sits down with VOA to discuss Iran.
My prayer is that the people of Iran, a youthful population, a well-educated population, understand that the United States of America and the people of this country are their natural ally.
The latest on tensions with North Korea. Also ahead, NBC announces its permanent replacement for Matt Lauer. It's all on today's International Edition. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence has vowed that the United States will stand with Iranian anti-government protesters for the long haul. And he said President Donald Trump stands ready to back the uprising with more than just words. State Department officials have told VOA the administration is considering economic sanctions or other actions against people or organizations that commit violence against peaceful protesters. VOA contributor Greta Van Susteren sat down with Pence on Wednesday and asked what, if anything, the U.S. plans to do other than offer support for protesters.
Well, it's important to remember first and foremost that Iran is the leading state sponsor of terrorism in the world. I mean, not only do they oppress their own people, deny human rights to their own, but they also export terrorism across the region and continue to be an enormously dangerous, destabilizing force. And so to see the people of Iran rising up to demand change in their country should hearten every freedom-loving American and people who cherish freedom around the world. And I have to tell you that the contrast today between the deafening silence from an American president in 2009 during the Green Revolution in Iran
But
the clear affirmation and support that President Trump has provided to protesters rising up in cities across Iran is dramatic. And I think it's very consistent with America's role in the world as a leading champion of freedom.
In terms of support, though, there's verbal support, and there was, admittedly, that President Obama was a few days late back in 2009.
Well, it wasn't just a few days late, because I was there. Okay. I was a member of the Congress. You'll recall I served on the Foreign Affairs Committee in the House of Representatives. And I remember back in 2009 seeing this largely youth-driven movement following a fraudulent election in Iran. People taking to the streets, demonstrating incredible courage that the people of Iran did to claim a democratic and free future. And we looked to the White House in those days in 2009. We looked for American leadership, and there was none. There was deafening silence from the Obama administration. So as a member of Congress, I authored a resolution with a Democrat congressman by the name of Howard Berman, who was at the time chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee. We introduced the resolution. It passed almost unanimously in the House of Representatives. Then Senator McCain and Senator Lieberman introduced it in the Senate, where it passed unanimously. And then and only then did we hear from President Obama and the Obama administration. The contrast between the silence and the failure to support freedom in the last administration and President Trump's unapologetic willingness to stand with the courageous people of Iran. I know it is giving hope to the people on the streets of those cities across that country, and we're going to continue to support them in not just verbally, but as they bring about change in their country. I can assure you the United States and the wider world stands with the people of Iran who want a better, more prosperous, and freer future.
The vice president called the American people a natural ally of Iran and said he sees a parallel between Trump's words of support for Iranian protesters and President Ronald Reagan's encouragement of Soviet dissidents in the 1980s. Here are some of the stories we're following at voanews.com. More U.S. airstrikes and executions start the new year in Somalia. A U.S. judge rules Iraqi detainees get a chance at release. Emergence of radical political groups is raising concerns in Pakistan. And U.S. auto sales decline, ending a record streak. Find expanded coverage of these stories and more at voanews.com and on our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition. The White House unleashed a scathing attack on Donald Trump's former chief strategist, Steve Bannon, who is quoted as saying he thought it was treasonous and unpatriotic for the president's eldest son and others to meet with Russians during the 2016 election. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders responded to reporters' questions about this at Wednesday's daily briefing.
I think furious, disgusted would probably certainly fit when you make such outrageous claims and completely false claims against the president, his administration, and his family.
The president, the press secretary, and the first lady's communications director all issued statements during the afternoon blasting Bannon. Author Michael Wolff, in his book, quotes Bannon assailing Donald Trump Jr., Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, and then campaign manager Paul Manafort for meeting with Russians, promising incriminating information about Democratic Party presidential nominee Hillary Clinton. Well, joining us now to discuss is criminal defense attorney and former CIA officer Jack Rice. Thanks for being with us. So what's your reaction to this book, and particularly as it relates to Russia?
It's astounding when we look at what's going on right now and some of the allegations that have come out. It really is clear to me that the administration, when it was a campaign, was so haphazard that they weren't in control of much. And as a result, it seems far more likely that, dare I say it, crazy things were going on and nobody seemed to be in control of it.
How much credence do you give to what Steve Bannon had to say?
Well, when you look at the influence that Steve Bannon had at the time, it says a lot. I know that the president right now just called him a staff member, but that's somewhat ridiculous in the very same way that the president's lawyer tried to argue that General Flynn only worked for the administration for 25 days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, okay. The problem is Steve Bannon had incredible influence, had incredible access, and his willingness to say what he says, I think, speaks an enormous amount and really gives people a peek behind the veil.
And then the other story that also broke was that former campaign chair Paul Manafort, who's in a world of legal trouble himself over this whole investigation, and he is now suing special counsel Robert Mueller and the Justice Department, among others. What do you make of that?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. This is partially for public consumption and even likely for his former boss, the president, because in the end, if you look at what it is that Robert Mueller was doing, is he has the right to follow this investigation wherever it leads. Think of it like this. You may have a search warrant, if you're a police officer, to walk into a house to look for guns, if you will. But if you see a pile of cocaine on the table, you get to arrest somebody for possession of cocaine. In this particular case, if Mueller actually is doing an investigation, and as part of that investigation finds that Paul Manafort was committing crimes in some other capacity, it's like a kilo of coke.
Is it sort of standard for this sort of thing to happen? Is this lawsuit likely to go anywhere?
No, it's likely that it will be dismissed. If you go back and take a look at the investigation that was done with Whitewater, just like the Whitewater investigation, what happens is you follow the investigation where the leads take you. It may start with a real estate deal, and it may end up with a blue dress. Mm-hmm. That's how the process works.
What do you expect for 2018? Should we assume this will wrap up soon? It will continue through the year? What do you think 2018 will bring in this investigation?
Well, I expect to see more indictments, and I see this process continuing to move very thoroughly. That's the one thing that Bob Mueller has always done with his team. These are really some of the best people on the planet doing this. And they know that history will be watching them. They also know that there are a lot of people out there who are going to try to debunk what they have to say. And so from their perspective, this is more than just a criminal investigation involving trying to establish proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Frankly, this is, from their perspective, about showing proof beyond any doubt. It's a higher standard because it's going to be sectioned and cut to pieces by anybody and everybody to find any little flaw. And so they're trying trying to avoid every single one of them.
And how likely do you think it is that President Trump will fire Special Counsel Mueller or those standing in the way of firing him, given that it would seem that the president and many of his allies, including many Republicans, have really ramped up attacks on the FBI and the investigation and even the Justice Department?
It's an interesting question in this sense. If we look at what the president's lawyers seem to have been telling him, that this investigation was going to be wrapped up quickly, and in some cases, they told him apparently that it would be wrapped up before Christmas, that's laughable. There is nobody who has ever followed an investigation like this who would ever say such a thing, which leads me to one conclusion, that they were trying to give the president something that he wanted to hear so he wouldn't do something else. And the something else that I'm curious about is whether or not he thinks he can fire senior levels of the Justice Department and ultimately Bob Mueller himself. If that were to happen, this may actually push even the Republicans to actually take some action here. Because remember, this is not just about a criminal investigation. This takes political will by the Republican establishment to actually go after this president if they choose to do so.
That's criminal defense attorney and former CIA officer Jack Rice. Thank you. President Trump's tweet warning North Korea's leader that he has a nuclear button that is much bigger and more powerful than Kim Jong-un's has set off a series of sharp reactions on Capitol Hill as the Senate gaveled in for its first day of business in 2018. But Pyongyang said Wednesday it will restore a hotline with the South after Seoul proposed high-level talks in response to Kim Jong-un's calls for better relations and suggestion his country might attend the Winter Olympics. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert was asked Tuesday by reporters whether it could be a tactic to drive a wedge between South Korea and the U.S.
We have a very strong relationship with the Republic of Korea, as we do with Japan. We have had a strong alliance with them for many, many decades. That hasn't changed. Kim Jong-un may be trying to drive a wedge of some sort between the two nations, between our nation and the Republic of Korea. I can assure you that that will not happen. That will not occur.
Joining us now for more on the tense situation with North Korea is national security expert Jamil Jaffer. Jamil, first, what do you think of the president's controversial tweets? The president tweeting to North Korean leader that he has a nuclear button that is much bigger and more powerful. Lots of reaction coming in from Congress. A little surprising. We see the Democrats are saying it's embarrassing, counterproductive, even dangerous. But then you've got Republican Senator John Barrasso saying we finally have a president who's actually dealing with the problem instead of what we've seen previously. What is your reaction to the tweets?
Well, look, Lori. I mean, I think everyone would agree that the tweets, you know, the tone and the sort of the style may not be what most people would prefer. But the president's long had his own style and approach to these things. Some might find it unhelpful. Some might find it concerning. But I think at the end of the day, when you look at the merits behind the message, which is that the United States is not going to be bullied by North Korea, that we will not accept a North Korea with nuclear weapons that can reach the United States. I think that is a message that any president of the United States faced with the current situation would carry, and that this president is caring. You might disagree with the tone and the approach and the style and sort of the, you know, mine is bigger than yours thing. That being said, I do think on the merits the president is correct.
He's correct in what regard?
Well, that the United States will not accept North Korea armed with nuclear weapons that can reach the United States, nor North Korea that if it has such capabilities or threatens to have such capabilities, that will then threaten the United States and try to bully us. We will not accept that. We won't stand for that. And that, frankly, is something we should have said a long time ago and didn't say effectively or effectively enough over the last 20 years, you know, bipartisan failed foreign policy in North Korea that's allowed them to get nuclear weapons and nearly get nuclear weapons that can reach the United States. It's just an unacceptable situation, one that we can't stand for.
Former Vice President Joe Biden made a statement about it, how the only thing worse than getting into a nuclear war is getting into an accidental war. Is that a possibility with...
What we're talking about is bluster. And could bluster get us into a dangerous situation? And the answer to that question is unquestionably yes. It could get us into a dangerous situation. That being said, while your tone and your approach may differ, and you may want to walk back some of that sort of aggressive rhetoric, I think the core message is the right one, which is that we will not accept the situation that we have accepted for the last 20 years, which is you're working on nuclear weapons, now you have them, and now you're trying to build them to reach the United States. At this point, it is right and correct for the president to say no, not acceptable anymore. We will not accept it. And if necessary, we are prepared to go to war over it. And so we as a nation need to be prepared for that. And the president is making clear in his own way, and again, a way that a lot of people disagree with, and a way that I will grant you may be dangerous, right? Nonetheless, he is putting his foot down, and it's the right thing to do is to put your foot down on this issue.
What do you make of the change in tone North Korea seems to be showing toward South Korea?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you see here is actually the fact that we are not going to be pushed around anymore is being noted by the North Koreans, and it's being noted by the Chinese. And as a result, you see, while there's still a lot of bluster from the North Koreans, there's also a more conciliatory tone, a willingness to enter into discussions with the South Koreans, a willingness to send a delegation to talk about the Olympics, right? That is a new tone, and I think a new tone due in part to the fact that they're recognizing that the United States and our allies are not going to be pushed around anymore on these issues. And so now, who knows how long this is going to last, right? And of course, what you don't want is an accidental conflict. What you need to do now is, and it's going to take the president, I think, because he's had a very direct communication over Twitter with the North Korean leader, right? It's going to take him saying, okay, there is a way out of this for you. And the way out of this for you is China working with us to work towards a real and full denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Now, that is a long-term play, but it is the only play that ultimately, at the end of the day, is acceptable for us and our allies, and the only real path out for the North Koreans and the Chinese. And everyone needs to understand that.
All right, that's national security expert Jamil Jaffer. And joining us now for social media segment is VOA's Doug Bernard. So, Doug, what's the talk on social media?
Well, it's common that news items get a lot of attention in social media, but very often it's sort of a mixed bag of people talking about this, that, Hollywood stars, etc. Not so much today. There really is, I think, one news issue, news item that seems to be weighing on people's minds, and that namely is President Trump's tweet at Kim Jong-un regarding nuclear buttons. Now, just if I may, just read the complete tweet from the president. He wrote this: North Korean leader Kim Jong-un just stated that the nuclear button is on his desk at all times. Will someone from his depleted and food-starved regime please inform him that I, too, have a nuclear button, but it is a much bigger and more powerful one than his, and my button works. Well, this has set social media, especially Twitter, into a bit of a frenzy. Lots of people talking about this, and very, very few people are either understanding what it's about or, speaking supportively about it. In fact, I haven't read a deluge of criticism like this for some time. So here is, for example, okay, so here is Robert Reich. Now, he's former labor secretary, a Democrat under President Bill Clinton. He writes this: this madman is still the single most powerful person on the planet with the ability to order the destruction of the world in just over 4 minutes. Richard Painter, who was the chief ethics attorney for the presidency of George W. Bush, 2005 to 2007, says that this is not the way to start 2018 with two deranged world leaders talking about the size of their nuclear armory. Peter Wenner, who is a conservative author, sort of social commentator, quote, Mr. Trump's recent Twitter storm interviews are more evidence we're watching an American president psychologically, emotionally, and cognitively decompose. John Heilman, who is a longtime political observer, sort of analyst that you see in print and on television, said it makes the president sound deranged. I have been looking and looking for people in support of what Mr. Trump is saying. I've found very few. Here's one. Colin Rugg has this to say: I think the best part about Trump's nuclear button tweet is that all the snowflakes are losing their minds. Not only did Trump offend little Kim Jong-un, but he also sent the left into snowflake meltdown mode. Snowflake, a somewhat popular term on the left and on the right for people who seem to get their feelings all tied in knots when somebody from the opposing side does something perhaps a little provocative. There seems to be no doubt that, frankly, this was a bit of a provocative tweet, and it has sent social media into a lot of people, I think, are just reflecting back, if I may, whether they have experience back during the Cold War, as I do, or not, that it just seems odd that world leaders be talking about nuclear confrontation in such a glib way over social media.
All right. Thanks so much, Doug. You can follow him on Twitter at DFrontiers. You're listening to International Edition on VOA.
Hello, sports fans. This is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports.
I love Sunny Side of Sports.
Please join us for a whole half hour of sports talk and news Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC GMT. On the internet, you can like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and read my blog. Visit voaafrica.com and enjoy the show.
When news breaks, VOA News is there.
VOA.
Around the clock, listen to VOA newscasts on the top of each hour, along with our detailed news shows and analysis.
VOA News. We're online at voanews.com.
At voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.
VOA's International Edition continues now with entertainment news, and for that, we're joined by Rare.us content editor Nicole Michella. So, Nicole, with all the news about the hashtag MeToo movement and so many high-profile names losing their jobs, I understand NBC opened the new year Tuesday by appointing a new co-anchor of the Today Show's first new hours with Savannah Guthrie, replacing Matt Lauer following his firing on sexual misconduct charges in November.
Yes, Hoda Kotb will be replacing Matt Lauer full-time. That was effective on January 2nd. So NBC News started 2018 off with some very exciting news. And like you said, it's been a big year for a lot of scandals with men in Hollywood and in the limelight, being accused of sexual misconduct and then women applauding each other. So the hashtag that the Today Show created on Tuesday, Savannah and Hoda Today, was trending on Twitter almost immediately after the announcement, with people congratulating Hoda and really applauding NBC News for making this decision to put two women as the lead anchors on the Today Show. Mm. And so for fans of the fourth hour of Today that she does with Kathy Lee, don't worry, she is planning on still doing both. She'll have about an hour break between both shows, which probably isn't a lot of time, but I think she's going to make it work. She was so, so happy this morning on the broadcast. And she actually said to E! News that Matt Lauer had reached out to her. He texted her privately and congratulated her. He has not made an official public statement about her promotion, but a lot of her colleagues like Al Roker, Savannah Guthrie, Carson Daly all tweeted their congratulations to her. So yay, Hoda, congratulations for you. Great way to start off 2018.
Well, women, they are rising.
Girl power.
There you go. So Christy Brinkley and Billy Joel's daughter, Alexa Ray, has some big news.
Yes, she is starting the year off with a big diamond ring on her finger. Her boyfriend, Ryan Gleason, proposed over the holiday weekend, and she shared some moments from their post-engagement bliss, their post-proposal bliss on Instagram yesterday on New Year's Day. She wrote that this was the first time in her life she was blindsided and absolutely dumbfounded and awestruck and at a complete loss for words after Ryan proposed. And her ring is gorgeous. It's this huge emerald vintage-inspired diamond engagement ring. And I was just looking at her Instagram and at the pictures, and her sister, Sailor, commented her sister, Sailor, posted her own photo congratulating Alexa Ray and said, "We have a wedding to plan, Mama," to Christy Brinkley. And Christy Brinkley said something back in the comment section like, "Yes, I can't wait. It's going to be so fun." So very exciting news for that family.
All right. Rare.us content editor Nicole Michella, thanks for being with us. Well, growing older can be tough on the mind and body, but some elderly women in South Africa are stepping into the boxing ring for a workout that's helping them knock out the effects of aging, Arash Arabasadi reports.
These grannies are training for the fight of their lives.
The advice I give to other grannies like me is that they should leave the old way of telling themselves that they are old and that they are grannies, and to try their best. Just because you are a granny does not mean you need to burden yourself with that word, granny. You need to wake yourself up and show that you are a granny with life.
In a suburb of South Africa's capital, Johannesburg, these 75 to 80-year-old women fight against the aches and pains of aging while keeping their bodies fit.
They're taking care of their grandchildren, cleaning the house, some of them. So most of them thought that boxing is the one that will also make them relax, make them think, make them young again.
It all started 5 years ago with a special aerobic exercise training program at the gym.
We're doing fitness. So our coco, they were interested to also do fitness. They saw my gloves, and then they just tried them on. And then since from there, they never stopped.
Boxing was an immediate knockout that seemed to turn back the hands of time.
I feel young. I feel like I'm 16, but my age is 18. Yes.
The club is, of course, good exercise for members, but it's also therapeutic for 76-year-old Jermina Maluleka, who was recently diagnosed with cancer. She says boxing gives her new hope for the future.
The gym has helped me through my illness. When I started out, I had a problem with my feet. I used to have swollen feet. Since I started going to the gym, I do not have that problem anymore. I never used to have a problem with my knees, with my legs, but the gym has helped me a lot.
Granny's toning up while learning self-defense, inspiring a younger generation, trainers say, to get fit at an earlier age. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA's International Edition. You can find us anytime at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Patrick Dea. I'm Lori London in Washington. Have a great day.
An editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The people of Iran are finally acting against the brutal and corrupt Iranian regime, said President Donald Trump in a tweet posted January 2nd, referring to peaceful protests that began December 28th in the city of Mashhad. President Trump noted the people have little food, big inflation, and no human rights. More than 20 people have reportedly been killed and hundreds arrested as the protests have spread to cities and towns across Iran. U.S. Department spokesperson Heather Nauert said the United States is following reports of multiple peaceful protests by Iranian citizens in cities across the country. Iran's leaders have turned a wealthy country with a rich history and culture into an economically depleted rogue state whose chief exports are violence, bloodshed, and chaos. As President Trump has said, the longest-suffering victims of Iran's leaders are Iran's own people, Ms. Nauert noted. The United States strongly condemns the arrest of peaceful protesters. We urge all nations to publicly support the Iranian people and their demands for basic rights and an end to corruption. The State Department spokesperson said that Secretary of State Rex Tillerson repeats his deep support for the Iranian people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.